Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, JoJo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494 on a Victory Friday as the Philadelphia Eagles take down the Commanders last night. They're 8-2. They've won six games in a row. They're a game and a half up, first place in the NFC East. And joining us right now to talk about it is the guy that was on the call last night, Merrill Reese. Merrill, how are you this morning?
I am great, like everybody else in town. It's just a great feeling to watch this team rise to the occasion and play a tough game, a defensive struggle for a while, and then break loose in the second half. I think they deserve tremendous credit for the way they performed.
Merrill, I agree. And you said defensive struggle in the first half. Merrill, how about this defense? You know, I was looking this morning at some of their better defenses that they've had, you know, in the last 20 or so years. You statistically, Merrill, you could put this defense up there with the ones that have gotten to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, 2017, 04. It's amazing how far they've come from last year, even the first 4 weeks, Merrill, to where they are now on defense.
Well, you see players emerging. You see guys like Jalen Carter. He's been spectacular. Jordan Davis is playing well. We wondered for a while about Nolan Smith, and he's made big play after big play. Brandon Graham last night, unbelievably, just performed at such a high level. And then, of course, you talk about the young players. You talk about the linebackers. There is so much credit to go around with this group. And, of course, it all starts with Vic Fangio. We always hear about the cliche about a coach has to put players in the position to make plays. He has done just that.
He has. And Merrill, the interesting part about watching these games and listening is how little we hear Quinyon Mitchell's name, and that's a good thing. Last night, Merrill, I think he was on one-on-one, you know, covering Terry McLaurin 20 times, and the Commanders didn't throw to that side once. I mean, that tells you everything. If a team is not targeting a guy as good as McLaurin, it means he's not close to open. It's incredible how good Mitchell has been as a rookie here.
You are right, because in recent years, I am so used to watching that number 17 disappear into the end zone with an Eagles DB 10 yards behind him. And he really didn't have room to take a breath. I mean, he was bottled up from beginning to end by Quinyon.
He was. Merrill Reese joining us here after the Eagles win over the Commanders. And then, Merrill, that running game on the other side. It was, you know, the first three quarters, I would say it was just okay, right? I think Saquon had about 3.5 yards a carry. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't really breaking. But, Merrill, they stuck with it, and I felt like the Commanders wore down in that fourth quarter.
See, that's the thing about a great back. When you have a great back, and I go back to guys like Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders and some of the more recent backs, like Derrick Henry, you can give them the ball 12 times in a row, and they're not doing much, a couple of yards here, a couple of yards there. But if you give it to them enough, eventually they're going to go 40 for a touchdown. And that's exactly what Saquon Barkley is. He'll gash them a little bit here, a little bit there, and then give him a little bit of fresh air, give him an open space, and he's gone.
Yeah, and Merrill, he did it twice last night. I mean, the first one was a great one, but that second one, it just felt like an exclamation point, and at that point, you knew they were going to win the game. Merrill, I thought, you know, he'd be good for the Eagles. He's obviously a good player, but I didn't know he had this much left in the tank still, and I didn't know he'd be this great. He's been even better than I could have imagined in his time with the Eagles.
Well, he's been great. He's been great, and I think that, you know, we take Jalen Hurts for granted. But once again, he played a very clean game. He made some great throws when he had to. That pass to Dallas Goedert that ended up as a fumble was a beautiful ball. And then, of course, you had Grant Calcaterra fall on it, which was a saving play. And then Jalen down the right sideline where he needed to pick up a first down, and he dove and he just did it. He's He's doing great things. He's playing great football. I think people underestimate him. I think he's really, really good.
Well, the thing last night was interesting. In the first half, it was choppy, right? They didn't move the ball passing. He was 8 of 9 in the second half throwing the football, and then he had the run you talked about. Sometimes it feels like Jalen gets in and out of rhythms. He was not in a rhythm early, but he found one that second half there, Merrill.
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with Washington's defense, too. It's a feeling out process, and it's back and forth, and you make an adjustment, then they make an adjustment. But, yes, he did emerge in the second half, and look what he's been doing. He's had one interception over the past month. He's really playing good football.
Merrill, always fun talking, especially after Victor. Enjoy a quiet weekend.
Have a great weekend,
Yeah, you
Merrill.
Can relax a little bit, and we got a big one next Sunday night in L.A.
Listen, I don't know that anybody, when this team was 2-2, thought that this team wouldn't lose again for at least 6 weeks. I mean, they're playing great football right now, and I think they have the ability to keep it going.
They do. Merrill, enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes. Merrill Reese. Yeah, he said it. Did anyone think they'd win 6 in a row when they were 2-2?
Mm-mm.
No. I mean, like, even the most optimistic person out there probably was like, oh, give it time. No one could have seen that. Hugh and Merrill mentioned the defense there and all the different players. I'm just impressed with every level. Like, Hugh, I thought last night Jalen Carter, that was the game. Remember when he was coming out of the draft, everyone said, like, if it wasn't for some off-the-field stuff, maybe he'd be the number one overall
pick? Yeah, because he was a special player.
That was the first time for a full game it was like, oh, that's it, right? He wrecked that game in every way. He had pressure. He blew up that fourth down play where Daniels almost fumbled the ball and then mm-hmm. Bond stopped him. He was, I don't know, if you rank the players on the field last night, he's probably one of the top two or three players on the field on both sides.
He's been a game wrecker, man, as we watch the highlights from the game. I just remember when being in Georgia, Rusty Manziel, he's the high school guy that talks about all the players, and he used to tell me stories about Jalen. He said Jalen used to beat his teammates like a drum whenever he felt like it at practice, and he practiced whenever he felt like it. And now you're seeing why the Eagles took him, and he's doing it. It looks like now more of a consistent basis.
Oh, but it feels like week in, week out, we should expect it now,
yeah,
right? Last year was like he did well in the beginning, and then he kind of fell off a little bit. And even this year earlier was like, good game, and then he's quiet. Now it feels like it's more of a weekly thing. Let's hear Sirianni talking about Jalen Carter after the game.
Jalen Carter was down center high in tackles tonight. I know you haven't seen the tape, but is there anything that you can see from the sideline on his game, and how has he progressed these last few
years? He is a freak athlete. I really think that Jalen Carter, whatever sport he would have put his mind into, he'd be a big time player in that sport. And he's just such a good athlete, and he's able to get to the football. He's violent when he gets there. There was a draw that they ran, or it was kind of like, I think it was a draw, that he retraced and made a play and got a big hit on Jaden Daniels. And so, again, I just think that he's been playing more than all the guys. You guys would tell me, I know recently he's played a lot more than the other guys. I don't know exactly the snap count, but he plays with relentless effort. He plays with great athletic ability. He plays with great violence when he gets to the football. Made some, everyone will talk about the fourth down stop, but there was a couple plays he made behind the line of scrimmage that put him in the fourth down on that drive, which was a huge stop for our team.
It was kind of old school to watch the snaps, too, right? You always talk about when you play, there wasn't snap counts. Well, last night, Jalen Carter, there was no snap counts. He played every snap.
No, and that's, to be honest, that's the era that I played in. The only time I came off the field was during goal line. And that's what you wanted to be out there because you never knew what down could be that down. And it's kind of interesting. It's a throwback to see that one guy on this defense is that guy. That's kind of dope.
He's special, especially in a short week. They just played on Sunday.
Yeah.
For him to play 66 snaps last night,
for his coach, Big Hurt, Coach Hurt, to say, "Hey, man, I need you," and for him to step up and do that, that's pretty big.
Has Coach Hurt replaced Frank Thomas as the official Big Hurt?
Well, no, Coach Hurt is no, I call him No Neck.
I was going to say, I noticed you've been not calling him Coach No Neck for a while.
Is that because
they're playing well? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Coach No Neck, with respect, as too, but you know.
So now that they're playing well, he has a neck.
Well, he still don't have a neck.
Is Kellen Moore Coach Goober still, or has he progressed past that too?
No, he's still Coach
Goober. He's kind of Goober, yeah.
Okay. He's still Goober.
Yeah, he's Gooberish.
Would you call him Coach No Neck to his face?
Why not?
I'm asking.
I wouldn't. I'm just worried.
I personally would
like,
not.
I'd be like, dog, you don't have a neck.
I am a coward.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
also,
saying. I mean,
he's
I'm a
four
strong,
times our size, Kyle.
No, like, but I'm a strong believer.
He would snap me in half.
I'm a strong believer in, you know, if I crack this mic and I say it on the mic, I got to be the same cat to say it to their face.
So, I like that.
He got no neck.
So
he got no neck. He's the first person to say that.
So you would stand up in front of the Eagles defense and tell them that they are a luxury, not a necessity?
I would tell them that. I'm pretty sure some of them listen.
And they'd laugh you out of the room.
And I will, since you brought it up, Joe, mm-hmm. I will take full credit for this turnaround.
Excuse me?
Yes. Since we're doing this.
You are out of control, dude.
It's Friday. It's Friday.
Are you saying you inspired the Eagles defense to become a necessity?
Yes, I did.
That's a great spin by
because
you.
They were not.
I actually admire that spin.
Yeah, you should admire it because it's a bold take.
Yeah, it's not true, but it's great take. It's a great take.
It's true on my planet.
Yeah. It's like the Seinfeld line. It's not a lie if you believe it.
Okay. So you don't think we've inspired this team as a whole to be better?
Oh, yeah, we bullied
you
them.
You know what? Hold on. Let me write this one down. I'm taking this for the Sirianni shows. I've inspired Nick Sirianni to be better.
Inspired him to be a better coach.
Yeah.
Can somebody pass that memo down to the quarterback?
Well, we're going to work on it. Give us the next week on WIP.
The last time I talked to him, he said he don't listen to sports radio.
Well, and next segment, we might get to some stuff. He might not be understanding what we're saying right now anyway. Derek is up next on WIP. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Listen, I'm going to get to Jalen in a second. But, no, Dan Quinn, he should be on a hot seat. Yo, when you got a kicker who missed two field goals and an extra point, mm-hmm. right? And points are not being scored like that. Why is you going for that? You was going to go up 13-12, right? All the pressure is going to be on who? The Eagles, who has a kicker who was struggling.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, that was a turning point in the game right there to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, why would he do that? And then how the play ended up, it was just disastrous, right?
So, Derek, I agree. Now, I will say they were on their backup kicker because it was their kicker was hurt. But it wasn't like it was a 55-yarder. Like, if it was a 55, 60-yarder, I could have understood. I'm not going to trust the backup kicker.
But was like a 40-yard. I was like a 40-yarder.
Right. And then the other thing is.
I'm not going to say it was a chip shot, but
no,
for NFL kicker.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a bad call. Plus, his offense wasn't playing very well. It wasn't like they were cooking.
No.
I mean, they were struggling to move the ball. I thought it was a weird decision.
The Eagles were struggling too, so I just felt like the points. But anyway,
that's why you got to take the points. That's what we've been saying. Take the points.
Man, Kyle was going back and forth. So I will say, Jalen Hurts, he definitely got to be better, right? But I just feel like he, like Merle Reese said, we do kind of like take his play for granted. Because I feel like on every play where he's not throwing the ball and he's running out of bounds, stuff like that, maybe guys aren't open. You know what I'm saying? Like you're saying Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin just wasn't open. So it's not like every play Devontae's open, every play A.J. Brown is open. And I feel like I'd rather him run around and run out of bounds than him throw an interception. But that ball that Devontae Smith dropped, that was a big drop. And then that little flea flicker play, that was just a drive killer right there.
Yeah, that was a brutal play call. So, I mean, I know after the game.
Up a little, that was a rhythm breaker, too. I don't know. I just feel like he definitely got to be better. But we do just kind of like roasting. But he's always, to me, he's always been like a game manager. Like Saquon had all them yards. If Jalen Hurts is over 350 yards, what is Saquon Barkley going to be doing, right?
Well, not having 150, right? Yeah,
if you can't have it all, but I'll take 8-2, and then we see what happens.
Well, I think we all would, right? Derek, we appreciate it.
We all in that camp, bro.
But. So, like, I mean, he brought up a couple plays that are fair. That trick play was dumb. It got snuffed out right away, and Jalen got smashed on that play. And then the one where Devontae should have caught it, you know,
the sideline. It felt like he got the toes in, 10 toes down.
He was trying to get the toes, and it maybe lost some concentration. And look, I don't know if every one of those plays where Jalen throws it away or just runs around if there's no one open. But sometimes when you watch the replay, Hugh, or someone puts up like the all 22, you do see people open, and then he doesn't pull the trigger quick enough.
That's what it is. It's the decision making. Yeah. It's the fact that you hold the ball too long. If the play's dead, the play's dead. I think Jalen sometimes, from my perspective, I think sometimes he holds the ball too long trying to make a play.
Yeah.
And if the play isn't there, just throw the ball away. I think that's the biggest indictment on Jalen right now.
So when I was listening to the morning show on my way in, the camera was getting crushed for saying that Jalen Hurts is holding the offense back. But he's dead right. I'm sorry. Like, why is this offense not reaching its full potential? Why? We know A.J. Brown's great. We know Devontae Smith's great.
Obviously,
we know
Saquon.
The O-line's great. Yeah. We know Saquon's great. We've removed the variable of Kellen Moore because we've seen him with other offenses in the NFL, and they've been great offenses. It's so clearly the quarterback. And I understand that people like Jalen Hurts, but to ignore the fact that he's holding this offense back, to me, it's ignorant and it's insane.
I think it was more so the timing. We won.
And I can agree with that.
Yeah,
sure.
and a lot of times, because even when I was watching the game last night, I'm like, we won. And there's been times, and you know it, I've come on here after we won a game, and I've hit you with the yeah, but we could have did this, that, and the third. And I feel like maybe, I don't need to make excuses for the camera, but I feel like maybe, you know, we're at that point now in the season where if we're keeping it a bean, this is where the wheels start to fall off the wagon. Well, and maybe that's how he's having a little bit of PTSD.
So I think now we're at a point where we're looking at this team as a Super Bowl contender. So I don't think it's unfair to look at things and say what could stop this team from realizing their full potential as a Super Bowl team. So, like, maybe I don't know. Like, should you be more excited after the Eagles get a huge win, the biggest win of the season, the biggest win after a couple of years? Yeah, but, like, I think it's worth being honest about the situation here and saying, like, this team could win a Super Bowl, but the one big worry to come out of that game is that the quarterback has not been good this year.
I don't have a problem with that either, Kyle, but I just feel like there's a time and a place, you know.
Well, it's hard not to talk about the game without talking about the quarterback,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's part of it. And I don't think he played particularly well last night. So last night during the game, I don't know if you guys heard it, Kirk Herbstreit called Jalen the kind of quarterback that gets in and out of a rhythm. Did you hear him say that? He used that term rhythm. I'm going to make a comparison that at first I think you guys are going to like probably shake your head and say no, because we only want to remember the good times. There is some Nick Foles to Jalen. Remember the bad times with Nick when Nick would fall out of a rhythm the first half of that playoff game against the Falcons? Like, sometimes Nick Foles would really struggle to hit the broadside of a barn. Like, he just would be bad. And then he'd get hot, red hot, and he could carry it for games at a time. Jalen has some of that in him. I mean, it's part of why Nick, and I love Nick Foles, but it's part of why Nick never established himself as a full-time starter a lot, because he went in and out. Jalen is... He has a higher floor because he can run, and he's better, right? He's a better, like, year-to-year, game-to-game quarterback than Nick. Nick had a higher ceiling. But, Kyle, Nick would do that. Nick would have these bad halves, and Jalen, the first half last night, he could hit the broadside of run. Then he did go 8 of 9 in the second half.
Sure.
He does this all the time.
No, he did. You're right. He does get better as the games go on. I guess my thought process was, and we might not be faced with this just because of how good the defense is playing, but if this team gets into a shootout, and you can't lean on Saquon Barkley, do you feel confident winning a game where Jalen Hurts has to throw the ball 35 times?
I feel like...
I don't...
To be fair to Jalen, I feel like that's twofold, because a lot of times... It hasn't been like this lately because, you know, we've been winning, obviously. But I feel like a lot of times the play calling doesn't lend Jalen to get comfortable at times. You know,
so
it's
what do you think they need
spotty.
To do? I mean, they did try in the first quarter. The first drive wasn't the swing pass to Dotson.
Yeah, like the smaller plays.
They do try that early.
I said, and that's what I meant by lately. They have, but I think that there needs to be more of a conscious effort to make sure you try to get him in more of a rhythm. Because there's been times, like last night, it just feels like some of the plays that you're calling, it's just not, you know, it's not getting him comfortable.
Yeah.
So you need to do that a little bit more.
So, look, Kyle's right. I mean, that is the one thing, because this game last time reminded me a little of the Saints game, where the game is really low scoring until the fourth quarter, and then there goes Saquon, and he just takes over the game, and they win. If the Commanders had 27 on the board, you know, in the middle of the fourth quarter, it's different. It's just the Eagles can't just run the football to a victory. Their defense is right now the driving force, and that includes Jalen Carter, we mentioned, and Quinyon Mitchell. Listen to this take by Ray Didinger on Quinyon Mitchell, because it's starting to put into perspective what we're watching here, a really special Eagles defensive rookie season.
At that position, you know, I remember, you know, I'm going way, way back. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I remember in 1980 when the Eagles drafted Roynell Young.
Sure.
He started at corner for a whole season on a Super Bowl team.
Sure did.
And played very, very well. And Eric Allen showed it to you right away when he joined. You know, he joined the buddy team. So in terms of cornerbacks and giving you instant impact, where they step right in and within three weeks you don't even think about them as a rookie anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, he's just a baller.
I'm putting him in the same breath
as Eric Allen, who in my view is a Hall of Famer.
Hugh, that's an amazingly big comp by Ray Didinger put him in the Eric Allen camp.
And then it goes back, it makes me think about when Coach Fangio was talking about him, mm-hmm. and how quickly he was able to pick up everything, man. I mean, I can see that. And it's always something special when you have a corner of that caliber and nobody ever calls his name.
He
becomes invisible on the field because he, number one, he's doing his job. It's like a good offensive lineman. Like, you don't hear that much about him because nobody's talking about him getting beat or anything. It's just a weird thing.
And rookie corners are supposed to make mistakes, right? They're supposed to get beat once in a while. That's normal. And with Quinyon, he does. Let me throw some numbers at you. Ready for this? I'm going to give you the numbers of Quinyon against the different receivers he's been matched up against. Ready for this? Mm-hmm. Drake London on Quinyon, 1 catch, 5 yards. Chris Olave, when Quinyon was on him down in New Orleans, 2 catches, 23 yards. Mike Evans, 2 catches, 19 yards. Amari Cooper, 1 catch, 10 yards. Malik Nabers, 1 catch, 9 yards. Jamar Chase, who's probably having the best season of any receiver in the NFL, 2 catches, 19 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 1 catch, 5 yards. Terry McLaurin, 0 catches. Hugh, the most he's given up to, I don't know, I mean, those guys are probably, what, like 9 of the top 25 receivers in the NFL?
Yeah.
The most he's given up is 2 catches. The most yards he's given up to those guys is 23 yards. I mean, is it crazy to think like he might be special?
I don't think it's crazy to think. And I think that some people are going to be a little apprehensive because of what they saw. And then, you know, because if you're keeping it a bean, even though this is the best offense we've faced, their offense hasn't really faced anybody either. You know, as far as outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, you say, I know they talked about earlier how they played the Steelers and the Ravens, and that was a competitive game mm-hmm. for them. But still, it's just, we're at the point now when we look around the NFL, especially in the NFC, it is what it is. There's not a lot of dynamic defenses. There's not a lot of dynamic offenses that it looks like right now. And you just have to give this team its due for what it is.
It looks like we're on a collision course with Detroit.
With Detroit, yeah. You just had to give this team its due, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Even Detroit has warts. So it's one of those things where if this team stays locked in like they've been locked in, it's not far-fetched to think that, you know, we will be going to Louisiana.
Gas up that bus, Hugh Douglas. We're bringing, I don't know, how many can we fit on the bus that we decided?
You said the Filthy 50.
Well, that's the name. I mean,
I think it has to be close to 50 as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we'll crunch.
It's going to end up being like 500.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot ticket.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.